Okay, ready. Welcome
to Off Script. My name is Will May.
And I'm Ashley. And this is the full disclosure on what it takes to thrive in real estate.
Yeah. And so you might be wondering, why are we filming here? We're in a different location. And as of today, we have a super exciting announcement to make on the podcast today. We have officially launched our own brokerage. Toast Real Estate is an independent brokerage here in Omaha, Nebraska.
That's right.
Isn't that exciting?
That is. So we are going to be breaking up today in two episodes. We thought it would be fun to share kind of our journey of how we came to this decision and what we went through, the ups, the downs, kind of what our mental headspace was in. And so today we're going to talk a little bit about that. And then on next episode, we're going to share a little bit about our vision, where we're going, and then our three different offerings and models that we will be introducing with the launch.
Yeah, for sure. So I want to kind of get into the backstory of how this all came to be. Like, we'll go through what the last few months were, which were smooth sailing. But how did, like, let's talk about how we came to the decision, right? Like, a year, what have we been working full-time together? A year and a month? A year and 2 months?
Yep, just over a year.
Yep, and I think the vision at the beginning was to kind of have this conversation once we got to, like, that 250 units, but I think even back then it was like an idea. Maybe this will happen, maybe it won't. And it was really cool to see the year progress, our units, our momentum build, and then to like finally make the decision as we got to closer to the end of the year. So, what were your kind of thoughts at the beginning?
My thoughts at the beginning were, I was actually completely against it, if I recall. I remember we were sitting actually at Katie and Josh's house, one of the agents on our team, and we were kind of talking about this, and I had a lot more fears, I think, because I had never really been in the brokerage game like you have, like with running a brokerage. I've only been on a team solo or running a team. And so the thought of even starting our own brokerage really scared me. And I think that was just because I didn't know what I didn't know. So with fear comes like resistance.
Well, and on top of that, like you have a pretty strong vision for what you wanted for the team.
Yeah.
And I imagine this was not a single part of that.
Yeah. I mean, I think the reason I was against it at first was because I was looking very siloed at just the team and how to grow the team. Wasn't kind of thinking about an independent model, what that could look like, or just the ability to continue to expand, because I'm so in the operation still of things with the team. So thinking about, oh my gosh, how are we going to support other agents and all of that? Just, I think it was just very fear-based at first.
For sure. Yeah, exactly. And I think we've said this before, but the business kind of took us in the direction we needed to go. So it kind of lined things up for us, which was kind of interesting as we got closer to the end of the year. Let's get into, do you want to go through like our core values first of where we're at with those, or what do you want to do like the 90 days?
Well, I think talking about kind of the backstory of like what the team did and then what drove us to transition over to the brokerage. So kind of what we did in units and everything and what that tipping point was financially and like what was our why of drivers. Like there's several drivers, and I think maybe we're talking a little bit about that.
Yeah, my bad. I skipped the whole part. That was on me. So I think as we got closer to the end of the year, our goal last year was 156 units. And I think our target was like 45 million in volume. We ended up at 51 million in volume. So I think really the beginning conversations or the backstory of making this happen started at goal setting. And we went over our finances last year. So as we kind of went through the finances of our team, and kind of in the back of my mind, I always had the brokerage as like, I think that's going to be the best option for us. The conversation started about how much we're paying where we currently are. So for a team that's our size, especially here in the Omaha market that has a BAC or a broker admin fee on every transaction, that's where a lot of the revenue from the brokerage when I was in the brokerage game came from. So knowing that we were going to be paying somewhere in like the 100 to 125 thousand to the brokerage in the following year, I think that's really what kind of opened your mind up to like, hey, maybe this isn't the best route forward, or maybe there is a different option for us.
Yeah, I think from my perspective, there was two driving things. One, the finances. I mean, are a big piece of it. We kind of did a look back on what we were paying. And then as we continue to move forward and grow, obviously those fees just continue to go up because it's a per transaction basis. So the more we grow, the more money we pay in. And then just from my personal experience and interactions with other people, I've always been told when you get into real estate, try and build your business as an entrepreneur as self-sustainable as you possibly can. And regardless of what brokerage you're at, and there's a lot of amazing brokerages, because if you do leave, it makes it extremely difficult when everything is so integrated with your brokerage's CRM and website and all of those things. So from the very, very beginning, when I started the team, I built everything to be very self-sustainable and not relying on the brokerage's resources. So I think for me, the two things to recap was the finances that we were paying in, and then the realization as we were in communication that we pretty much were self-sustainable on our own, how we were operating and the culture that we built. And we felt pretty insulated that we could pick up and do that anywhere that we go.
Yeah, we literally took, I mean, as every agent and team should be doing, looking at the numbers, right? We looked at how much we would be paying the following year, and that includes those BAC fees from the transaction, right? Mm-hmm. That's just not, we don't pay them that much in terms of like splits and monthlies. That's much lower. Mm-hmm. But when we looked at the total from our transactions and what our team's bringing, I think we had to evaluate the entire Omaha market specifically and all the cloud-based models of like, who's going to give us the most value right now?
Mm-hmm. And we went through all of them. We went through cloud-based, other big box brokerages, if you will. I mean, we looked at everything.
Yep. And the numbers didn't mark out to make sense for us. I think the bigger companies in the Omaha market, obviously, we're going to pay that amount of money in some way, shape, or form just because of that transaction fee. And then when we looked at the, you know, the more transaction-based companies that are maybe less value, we didn't feel like our brand really aligned with that.
Yeah.
Right?
And I would say that we met with several brokerages just to kind of explore. And I think something that made me feel really confident in our decision was that you have a really good relationship with a lot of the brokerages in town. And after meeting with them and kind of talking about our model and what we're doing, and, you know, we were on the fence of starting our own brokerage or potentially transferring, they even said, hey, like, I can't help you. It makes sense for you guys to go start your brokerage for what you're looking to do and what you're going to pay with us. So hearing that from a competitor kind of gave me some peace of mind, because they realize like, I can't even provide you the value that you're looking for, and you're able to do that on your own.
Yeah, 100%. I feel like this gave us the opportunity to kind of control our environment. We know we already present a ton of value from services and from training. And so it helped us really establish ourselves. And I knew long term, it's going to put us in a really, really good position, because I think the type of agent that we attract is somebody that is like us. That's high service, high standards. We're not for everybody. We don't plan on being for everybody. And so we felt like a long term, we could create a really, really good culture of high performing agents and really hold that standard, which I don't think has been done yet.
Yes, true. So I think maybe let's talk about the core values in the next episode when we're talking about vision and where we're going and our models, a little bit more about that. But I think today let's talk about kind of our journey of decision and what we went through. For anyone that's listening that's maybe looking to start their own brokerage or just wants to hear the fun journey of it all, we're going to kind of talk about that 90-day process of from the time we made up our mind of let's explore this to today, which is opening day, as you guys are now seeing it on film and with this being released, what that journey looked like.
100%. And I think you can relate to this if for agents that have ever made a change, joined a team, moved a team, left a brokerage, this is all a similar process. It just, we're going to explain what happened to us in these 90 days of making the decision and then to making the move, because there's such a prep time. There's so many things that had to be thought out, especially for us on the brokerage side of things.
Right. And what you see is always the pretty polished stuff on social media and how great everything is. And I think we're going to share a little bit more of the behind the scenes of our struggles and our thought process and everything that didn't go well.
That's right. Yeah, your ChatGPT was hilarious when we were like looking through like what happened in January.
It knows us better than we know ourselves.
Yeah. So you want to go back to kind of like that January timeframe when decision was made?
Yeah. So kind of in the January timeframe was the, are we really doing this phase, if you will, where we were really just trying to figure out, like, does this make sense? And in the exploratory of trying to figure out what has to happen and in what timeline can this happen?
Yeah.
And so that's kind of when those private conversations were starting to happen, financial modeling, meeting with some mentors of ours and people that we wanted to reach out to kind of just pick their brain and get their thoughts of, are we absolutely crazy or are we on the right track with what we're thinking here?
Yeah, that was like the most, like the decision was made and I think that's where the most doubt happened.
Yeah, I think that's where I had the most mental spirals because I feel like I was having almost a brand identity of, like, there was just a lot of what does this look like and getting my mindset out of we're running a team versus a brokerage. Like, the entire conversation had to change.
Yeah, for me, this was, like, a very comfortable time knowing what we would be going into because, again, I have experience in brokerage, mm-hmm. running the brokerage, recruiting, mm-hmm. developing, like, value for agents. Mm-hmm. And I think you're obviously still 100% in sales.
Yeah.
You're still in every listing that we do on the core team. So. Mm-hmm. I can imagine that was I have to give you a shout out because to be able to pivot your vision mm-hmm. and trust, like, I feel like that probably took a lot mm-hmm. over the past, like, 8 to 9 months as this developed and then as we made the decision.
Yeah.
Do you have something there?
No, I would just say that I think for me at that time, and I'm trying to, it seems like a blur because it's been, you know, months, but I'm trying to put myself in that mental headspace in January. And I think I was just very, very focused on, like, the team only. And, you know, the profitability of the team and, like, what does this look like with this independent model? And that messes up all of our processes and systems. And now we got to go create, like, it was a lot of change yeah. of, okay, we have to create different models for different people within a brokerage. And with me being so in the business and in sales, it just stressed me out of yeah. thinking, like, you know, you start thinking salaries and money and the people you have to hire and how are we going to make this happen? And a lot of front loading when you're opening a brokerage of expenses in order to get there. So I feel like I'm much more in the weeds and the details when it comes to decision makings and our relationship and how we operate our business. And you're much more high level, like vision, here's where we're going, which is great. But I'm always like, okay, how do we make this happen? And then that stresses me out a little bit. So that was like my headspace in January.
Yeah, mine was more just when things get a little bit more chaotic or chaos. Like, I don't know. I feel like I thrive in that. So I kind of mm-hmm. try to stay calm. But I knew, like, over the past 6 months leading up to that, it was more along the lines of, like, I know how you operate. So mm-hmm. when you operate and you make a decision, it's going to happen immediately. Mm-hmm. So it was like, planting seeds of, like, is this going to work? Do we think this is something we could do? And it was mm-hmm. initially no. It got closer to a yes. January happened and we said, no, mm-hmm. we're going to make the move. We looked at the numbers of 125, 130,000 of transaction fees and monthly fees that we were paying. Mm-hmm. And we said, can we get a space and can we get somebody to operate from a broker and finance standpoint? And so I knew those were, like, the couple pieces that we were needing. And we had a vendor, one of our main vendors has space. So originally, this was supposed to be operating with them in their building mm-hmm. in a much smaller space than we ended up getting. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of funny because my idea of what was going to happen has completely got blown out of the water mm-hmm. in terms of our financial model and what we were going to do, which is, I know how you kind of operate, which is always funny to me because we're like, okay, this is the high level, what's going to happen. You're like, is this done? Is this done? Is this done? Is this done? Which then stressed me out because I'm like, no, we're not there yet. But you're always, like, moving things forward so quickly. So.
Yep, exactly. And then, so that was kind of like our January headspace of the very just formation building of everything. And in February is more of like what you would call the deep build, I guess, where it's like, okay, things are getting serious. We're a few months away. We actually have to get into more of the nitty gritty details of, and the boring things like legal formation of LLCs and branding and back end systems and commission plans and all of that. So that I say in, like, probably the February timeframe, we were getting more into modeling.
Yeah.
If you will.
February was crazy because, as we started looking at the numbers, and having some really specific conversations, we realized relatively quick, we weren't going to be able to be in that space. Mm-hmm. It was going to be too small. We were going to outgrow it. We didn't think it was a 3 to 5 year space that we could stay in. Mm-hmm. So we didn't want to make two moves. Mm-hmm. So February was the time, first of all, we were going on vacation.
Oh, that's right. We were on our way to Mexico then.
Worst time of the year, of the time to go to on a vacation mm-hmm. at the end of the month. But beginning of the month, we had a really clear plan. Mm-hmm. You and I think probably Asia blew that plan up that I had, which mm-hmm. was great by saying, hey, we can't, this isn't a big enough space. Then that started, like, the search for an actual commercial space that we felt would work for us long term. budget got blown out again, which has happened the entire time we've been getting this open.
I like to spend the money, and Will has to figure out a way to pay for it.
Can we find a space for our current team that's between $3,000 to $4,000 and operating that for a year or two? Well, it turns out we ended up going far above that to get more space, but which then blew up our models and actually allowed us to open our what we're going to be calling our entrepreneur or our independent model to provide more services to more people. Mm-hmm. So we ended up getting a 4,000 square foot space with a bunch of offices, which then we had to look through the numbers of an office build out, which also wasn't part of the plan.
Yep.
And so I felt like February for me was like, hey, I have a really good idea and plan. And then you guys kind of blew it up. And then I had to try to figure out how can I still make this work?
Yeah. February was just a month of chaos. And I think it became really real that it was happening. And I was very excited about it. And at this point I had confidence that we could do everything. But then for that, I think that was like the financially stressful moment of all of it, because we knew we could be successful once we get there, but the front loading of expenses, signing leases, seeing how much things were going to cost, the build out of the space, and knowing we're still paying splits, royalties, BACs, all of that at the current brokerage, and then having to front everything for the new brokerage, you're kind of getting double hit. So that was kind of the realization of, I know we can do this. I know we're going to be successful once we launch. But the like next 90 days is going to be really financially tough and tight just to get things up and going.
Yep. Gina was getting her license still. Hadn't even got the Iowa one because we had to get Nebraska first. We didn't have our financial person at that point, so it was me.
Yeah, the person who pays out our commissions and our office manager we hadn't hired yet. We had her in mind, though, right? We had met with her at that point, I think.
We had met with her. No, we didn't meet with her till after.
So we didn't even have that person figured out.
Process, yeah.
And... yeah, we had Gina identified as broker, but she hadn't became licensed yet. So we were also under a lot of pressure because the company that we were leasing the space from, while we were in Mexico, there was another group that was coming in to sign that lease. And they basically were saying, like, you have to sign this lease or it may not be available, which scared us a little bit because it was a huge cost. Right. And we didn't have a broker yet.
And we didn't have our pieces in place. So what did we do?
So we signed the lease because sometimes you just have to do it and trust that things are going to work out, because had we not signed the lease and not been able to find space, then that just pushes deadlines back as well. So we signed the lease and trusted and had faith that it was all going to just work out. And if not, we were just going to spend some extra money for a couple of months there.
Literally on the plane to Mexico.
Yeah.
We signed it.
Yep.
And I ordered a mimosa.
February. February was the chaos.
Yeah, it was. It really was. It was getting our plan kind of rehashed out and then understanding what pieces we were going to need. So that was kind of wild. Then we came back from that vacation. The next big piece for me was notifying the brokerage.
Yeah, that was hard for you.
Yeah.
So now we're into March.
Yep.
And that was something that I think you were dreading a little bit, because you have such a good relationship with the brokerage and
the weight of it all, right?
Like
I've been at the office we were at for 4.5 years, and have helped build the culture there. And so it was a challenge for me to like have conversations with people knowing that we're going a certain direction, but not, you know, saying where we're going or what we're doing. Mm-hmm. So the hard piece for me was notifying, you know, people that I really respected and have helped me grow as a leader in the industry that, hey, we're going to go in a different direction, which is never fun.
Yeah.
And I think it came at a time that wasn't like obviously optimal for the culture we were in. And so that was a big, like, once that happened and that conversation, the tough conversation was done and making sure there was a plan put together to be respectful about our move, as well as like put a good timeline together. We still have to operate in that space, but also be on good terms. Once that conversation was had, I feel like a weight was lifted and it was like, okay, now we just got to hit our deadline, which we set as May 1st.
May 1st.
Today.
Yeah. And from my perspective, I think March was just a really uncomfortable time to be in the brokerage, because it was like, now we've gotten so far into the process of it's concrete, we're opening, and we hadn't been able to have that conversation with James yet, which is what you're alluding to at the brokerage. And so it kind of felt like uncomfortable being there, knowing we all knew we were leaving. Our whole team now had been aware of it. We had shared with our team, asked them to keep it confidential until we shared it with the brokerage. And then being in that space felt uncomfortable, because there had also been, you know, another top producing agent and some teams that were considering leaving at the time. So people are coming to us asking what we're going to do. We're not in a position to share this information out of respect for the brokerage. So we kind of just felt like we were in this weird limbo phase almost. Mm-hmm. And it felt really uncomfortable being there. And Will just kept getting to the point where he's like, I have to have this conversation. I have to have this conversation. I don't like living like this.
Yeah, ripped the band-aid
off. It was a tough month of March of just like not feeling aligned with ourselves because we felt like we were like hiding the secret. And for the right reasons, right? We had to be confidential about what we were doing. But at the same time, we don't like living like that.
No, 100%. And to be in that space, right? Like for me, it's about being respectful and making the right decisions. And having that conversation was more centered around like, we're not going to another brokerage. Mm-hmm. We just don't feel anybody can provide what we're able to provide. And long term, this made sense for our financial goals. Mm-hmm. And I think that was a respectful way to do so, or at least I hope so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think for anybody that's listening, like this happens when you're a solo agent in a team. And even if you're not starting a brokerage, I think another big piece of it is the timing of when you share that information with your brokerage is hard. And there has to be a lot of trust there between the person you're sharing it with, because they don't have to keep you there, right? They could have said, hey, knowing that you're starting your own brokerage, we don't want you here. We want you out of this space because we don't want you here, you know, recruiting other agents or whatever that looks like. So it's also a risk on our part to share that information, because Gina was not up and going with her license yet. We couldn't just open it. We would have to go then hang our licenses at another brokerage and have two moves. So the timing of everything is really, really challenging. If when you share that information, your goal isn't to leave right away, because you risk their response of how they're going to handle that. And then you're in this state of limbo again.
Yep. 100%. And it was really interesting during that time, because even leading up to when we left for vacation, coming back all the way through telling and notifying the brokerage, that 3-week period, like, we had had conversations with our team, but there's also the risk that maybe somebody doesn't want to go.
Yeah.
And so telling them and having everybody on the same page as a group was so, it wasn't like a shock to me by any means, but it's also like, it was such an overwhelming yes. Like, mm-hmm. this is the direction we should go, and we believe in you guys, mm-hmm. that helped give us that confidence to say, hey, regardless of us not having all the pieces put together, our team believes in us. This is a mm-hmm. direction that they're wanting to go as well, and they see as something that they can get behind. Mm-hmm. I think that gave such a lift, again, weight off your shoulder, but confidence mm-hmm. that this is the right thing.
100%. Like, you think going into a conversation, you know how everyone feels about you and your leadership and how you run a team, and you think they're all going to be bought in, but then you're like, that moment of doubt where you're like, well, what if they don't? What if they want to stay at where they're at or just leave your team and go somewhere else? Because they also have to transfer their license and rebrand their whole name. And so we assumed they all wanted to come with, but you never know. And, and thankfully, every single person on our team was 100% bought in, and it wasn't an issue at all. But there was that fear as well.
Yeah, 100%. And I feel like that was a really good feeling to move forward on.
Mm-hmm. And we were recruiting at the time. So to add on to that, we were in the middle of recruiting, I want to say, Chapin, who's now with us. So we also were in this position of how transparent can we be with the agents we're recruiting onto our team that are wanting to come on, because there was that time where we still hadn't shared it with the brokerage yet. And so we were like, do we risk sharing this with an agent who we haven't built rapport and trust with and share that we're launching our own brokerage because we want to be transparent with them, but also please keep it quiet because we have not shared it with the brokerage. So just a lot of moving parts and dynamics that were happening behind the scenes that, I mean, nobody really knows about or sees, and even our own team like didn't hear about of all these conversations that happened on a nightly basis and the things that we were going through.
Yeah, and you have to give a shout out to the team just for having so much grace with us too. Mm-hmm. We had to explain to them, hey, this next couple months is going to be bumpy. We're probably going to hit some bumps in the road, mess some things up. Have grace with us. Value's probably going to go down a little bit over the next 60 to 90 days, but we'll be able to present more later. Mm-hmm. And they fully bought into where we want to go and what we're doing. If we need them at a photo shoot or videos within, you know, 2 or 3 days, they make it happen for us. And I think that excitement has really carried us through. Mm-hmm. And so we got into March, and my biggest stress, like everything up until that point was like creating the model, understanding what we needed to do, getting a list of things that needed to be executed on, was how the biggest thing, right? Like, how are we gonna pay people on time? And like, that's as minimal as that seems, like that's such a strong stance I wanted to have. Like, we have to be able to pay people on time and have hang on our finances, which I'm doing all the like operations overlay on the brokerage side, mm-hmm. and the finances, and obviously Asia and I and mm-hmm. everybody's helping, but like we needed that person, so we just kept praying.
Can I share this? Like yeah. mid podcast, I don't mean to interrupt you, but just speaking about how great our team is, I just got a text from Asia to us while we're here saying, I just picked up the new signs and I started crying. Guys, we're really doing this. I'm so proud of us.
Yeah.
That's just awesome. Like mid filming this podcast. Like our team is just so great. They're I love awesome. Them.
And picking up where it needed to be.
Yeah.
Right. And so we get like my biggest thing we did. I just kept praying like, hey, can you please bring somebody that is like this finance spreadsheet person? And I just kept asking like, we need a spreadsheet wizard mm-hmm. that knows how to fix our sales sheet, but also help us with this process. Mm-hmm. And we ended up meeting Brandy through Nicole.
Yep. Nicole, our marketing manager, was in I think networking group. And all we said is we need an Excel wizard. And she knew somebody that knew somebody that knew Brandy, connected us with her, met for, I think, coffee or something.
Met for coffee to fix our sales sheet.
Just to fix our sales sheet. And it turned out being like exactly what we worked.
She had a background in real estate. She worked at another brokerage in town that went from 10 to 110 agents within like a year or two. She was there through that entire process.
She built their entire systems, dashboards, payments. It was like the universe provided us exactly what we needed at the exact moment that we needed it.
Sitting at Coffee Society, I'm just like, this can't be real life right now. And within 4 weeks, she was full time.
Yep. She's with us now and she's amazing.
Yeah. And now we're building all of our financial models out, our every single system we're going to need, which aren't all the way done still at this point. But like everything is continuing to get better. Within 5 days from today, we'll be able to pay people on time, mm-hmm. Which is going to be awesome. And it's been so crazy to see like that manifest into our world.
Yeah. And if you've been watching for a while or listening, we're big on manifestation and believing in the universe will provide us what we need and vibrating at a high frequency and energy level. So it seems to be working.
I know. And like all these are just clues, right? Like everything we had doubts about and everything that we thought could go wrong.
Yeah.
It going right was like, oh, we're on the right path. Mm-hmm. Pressure makes diamonds. Like the timeline allowed us to bring the right people into our life, but also put pressure on us to get the job done. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that was really kind of neat to see that come to fruition.
Yeah. So now Brandy's with us. One of the key pieces we're going to need as far as office management and all of that. And now we're into April.
Yeah.
It's crunch time now, 3-4 weeks. And this is the time it's the launch push, right? This is where all of the detail work starts to happen. The parts that Will doesn't love doing, the putting together onboarding pieces and how the transition's going to look and updating branding and logos. And Nicole has been working her butt off nights, weekends, after hours, just trying to get websites, marketing templates, everything updated and ready to go for all of our models, including the independent.
Creating and changing our logos.
Yep.
Like,
oh, and we even had a brand identity with should we keep the name Toast for a while there. So that happened too.
Yep. Yeah, that was like I had Brandy, Asia, Nicole, Maya, everybody has been like all hands on deck making sure that this was happening on the timeline we wanted it to happen. And they were probably ahead of us even on a lot of the stuff bringing things up. But yeah, like going through should we change the name, should we not change the name, last second changing the logo. Mm-hmm. It's been like April was crazy.
Yeah, we transitioned a lot of things from pink to black and white because we realized, you know, it's going to be really hard to bring on men into our brokerage if everything is pink. So everything is now more of a black and white look with blues and pinks as accent colors. So just so much has to change with everything. And it's been a really fun journey to see it all come together. Stressful, to say the least. That's but right. I mean, while we're filming this, we're about 1 week away from launch. So we're in that last, like, push of all of the last minute things that are coming up and, you know, people are thinking about before we get there. And I'm sure there's going to be things that we missed and there's going to be things that we didn't think about when we launch. And that's okay. Nobody in this world who's ever started their own business or brokerage has done everything perfect and had everything figured out.
Yeah, it was really funny because I talked about, hey, we're probably going to hit some bumps in the road. And this like last 2 weeks has gone a lot. Once Brandy was on full time, it went way more smooth. Mm-hmm. And just getting like all the admin paperwork stuff. She had to end up driving to the Secretary of State in Lincoln to kind of push things forward. But we started the transition a little early. We moved Gina over the week before. Mm-hmm. And then the plan was 4 days before launch to move the agents, or 3 days. And we got the bump in the road happened to be Arbor Day, of all things.
Which is today.
So I did not
think that we're filming.
Commission's off during Arbor Day. So that pushed everything back a day. And I told Brandy, I was like, this is literally why we started early. So that when something happened, like freaking Arbor Day came up, which I love Arbor Day. Not today.
Celebrate it all the time.
Celebrate big Arbor Day celebrator. It was like our bump in the road that pushed us back a day, but thank goodness we started a little bit early so that we were still fine.
Yeah. What surprised you the most about this entire process over the last 4 months? I mean, we're here now. Mm-hmm. We're launching next week. Anything you learned from this or anything that surprised you the most from all of this?
Surprise would be more just that it could go as smoothly as it did. Knock on wood, right? Like, everything is going how we want it to. We're hitting all of our target deadlines. Mm-hmm. It's not that we haven't had any adversity by any means, but we have such a connected, strong team that when something does come up, it's not one person handling it. It's, hey, we got to figure this out. Let's make this work. Mm-hmm. So I think my biggest surprise was just, and I should have known this, but like how easily our team could come together around a common mission, a common goal. And it gives me so much insight as to what's going to happen next.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think for me, what surprised me the most is how calm I actually feel about the opening of the brokerage. I still feel a little bit chaotic just because I'm in sales, like more my transaction stuff. But if I separate the two, and maybe that's because I've been able to be pretty hands-off and you and Brandy have handled a lot of things, that there was so much fear at first. And then it was like mindset shift of, okay, we can do this. And then about a month ago, I was like 100% no doubt, so much confidence that I have no doubt in my mind that we're going to be successful at this.
Yeah.
And so I think that was like the one thing that I learned the most of just like the perception. My perspective changed so much and I'm so confident like where we're going and what we're doing. And I feel so good about this next year.
Yeah. There's like this weird sense of like we've really been through a lot to get to this point and the work and the fun is just beginning at the same time. Because now we get to create a culture that we really believe in that's ours and something that can grow to be like exactly what we envision the team to be, but on... I think we can actually give a little bit more value to more people now.
Yeah. And I think like to just trust your team and trust the process and let the details go a little bit. I mean, obviously you need details like making sure people get paid, but I'm such a perfectionist in my mindset of things and how everything has to be perfect before doing anything. And I think I've learned to just know that like trust the process, trust the journey, that it's not going to be perfect. There's going to be hiccups and like people aren't going to leave just because everything's not perfect. There's no such thing as perfection at any brokerage.
Yeah.
But just trust the process.
And people want transparency.
Yeah.
If you're transparent and you help, we tell our team all the time, this is what we ran into. This is the failures we had, or this is the bumps we didn't think about. Mm-hmm. And if we're transparent that way, our team has always got behind us in that.
Yeah. So next week.
Yeah.
We're going to be, so that was kind of like our journey of everything. And as you guys are watching this, we're launching it today when this is released. We're about a week out from launch as we're filming this. But next week, we're going to talk a little bit more about our vision of where the brokerage is going, what our core values are, and then our three different models that we have within the brokerage with our core team, our agent model, and our entrepreneur model.
Yeah. So we'll kind of lay out what that looks like and what value we can bring to the right person, I think, and where we're heading. And we look forward to, as we've been doing since January, just showing you exactly what happens in our world and what we deal with on a day-to-day and week-to-week basis.
Yep.
Cool. All right. See you next week.
See you next week.